Welcome back to another episode, episode three, actually, of the BuyAuburn.com podcast, where we take business owners that are members of the BuyAuburn.com and spotlight what they do and let you get to know them and put them on the spot. Hey, you claim to be an Auburn business, prove it. And today I got one of the very first signups that we had, Mr. Evan Thames of Deep South Retrievers. I can't wait to hear more about your business, because shortly after I posted the site and started to promote the site, people started jumping in the YouTube comments talking about you, like talking about your company. So I want to learn more about what you got going on. But Evan, man, thanks for joining us, and I'm excited to get this conversation going.
Man, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Evan, the way I start this thing off is typically I make you prove it. I say, put your money where your mouth is. Let's talk about your Auburn connection. What makes you an Auburn-owned business?
Well, obviously, I'm an Auburn alum. I finished there in 2000 with a degree in forestry and wildlife science. Believe it or not, I grew up a Bama fan. I did not tell you that before we started, but man, when I changed majors and Auburn offered what I wanted, and man, from the moment I stepped foot on campus, I mean, that Bama loyalty was gone. It was all War Eagle at that point. And I can't imagine, you know, being any other way now. There's nobody that doesn't like Bama any more than me at this point in my life.
Yeah.
So, went to school there, actually got my first lab while I was in school there. My first true hunting dog, ran into a guy out at Conway Acres one day. I was
Conway Acres.
Yes. Yes. So Conway had all the ponds out there before the soccer fields and what have you. And I went out there and I ran into this guy that was blowing a whistle and doing all this crazy stuff I'd never seen before. And I just started asking questions and ended up, he was in vet school and invited me to come out and train dogs with him in the afternoon. And we would go and meet after class and his clinicals every day. And man, it just was just something I fell in love with and happened to be good at. And my first dog was really good. And I started going and running a hunt test, which is a way to test your dog's ability to hunt, while I was there in school. And I would take Dr. Bob Strong now. He's a veterinarian in North Carolina now. He's an Auburn vet alum. I would take his dog, Sassy, and my old dog, General, to these hunt tests. And we were broke. Man, I would sleep in the bed of my truck and to get up and run dogs. And I'd be sitting in the truck studying for finals in between running dogs at these trials, and just had a lot of good luck and a couple good dogs to get started. And it kind of just took off from there. But I worked in my field for several years and did the dog training on the side before I went full time with dogs. But man, it all started there in Auburn at Conway Acres.
I love it, man. What years was that?
So I got there in 98, finished in 2000. So I was there for the big long span of Iron Bowl victories.
So the Strutting Duck was still there right by.
Oh, Conway, man. The Strutting Duck was where you ate, because you had to. It was 15. Look, imagine today, I think like the best special you'll find is like a dollar wing somewhere. Yeah. Back then it was 15 cent wings at the Duck.
Incredible. That's incredible.
Oh yeah.
That place was fun. Yeah. I lived in Ridgewood. So like that's the real Auburn experience. Now these kids live in like high rise apartments with pools on the roof and all that stuff. Like, no, you had to go live in a trailer. You got to do your time.
They didn't have any of that there. My first year I was in Ridgewood, and then I moved out to Saddlebrook, way out Wire Road, you know.
Yeah.
So you can still see turkeys gobbling on the side of Wire Road out there on the way to class back then. I don't know if it's like that now, but, you know.
It's still – once you get out of town, it's still pretty rural down Wire Road. They haven't built that up all the way quite yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good enough. Hey, I was a Bama fan. I came to Auburn, and It changed my life. This is audio only, but guy's got an Auburn shirt on. Like he's in. He's good. I give him the stamp of approval. He's an Auburn guy.
All right.
So as being an Auburn guy, what's your favorite Auburn memory? Like when you look back at it, hey, I became an Auburn fan in 1998. From then on, like, what's your favorite Auburn memory where you're like, dang, man, that's it for me. That's like peak.
Well, I guess my favorite in life Auburn memory would be the LSU game where they thought they had won the game at the end of the game, where they scored on the last play. But the time had – I can't remember what year that was.
I think it was 2016.
But that sounds about right. But, they thought they scored. I was in the end zone with my daughter at that game, and when they came over the loudspeaker and said the time had expired, we were close to the visiting section. We were in that end zone. And all of my daughter's mom's family's from LSU, or they're all LSU fans. Well, when all the beer and everything went flying through the air, my daughter looked at me. She was young, and she's like, we got to get out of here now.
That's incredible.
So that was my favorite in life. The kick six, of course, I was sitting in a duck camp with a bunch of Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans watching that game in Grenada, Mississippi. And we were all in the main room watching that. And when it went down, everybody just lost their minds because, nobody likes Bama. Even all the Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans were pulling for Auburn.
Yeah. So didn't kill many ducks, I would imagine, if that's the case.
Well, that was night game.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure the next day we limited out. That's for sure.
That's awesome. Those memories, those two are really, really good. I forget about that LSU game because that was honestly, you remember, that was like the game to see who gets fired. It's like whoever loser gets fired game, and Gus pulled that one out.
Yeah.
I knew when they snapped it that he didn't have any time. Like, I was like, there's no way this play got off. I was at that game too. That was a weird change of emotions there.
Oh, gosh. So, you're up and then you're down and then you're like, we survived
again.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Auburn player of all time? Any sport, doesn't matter.
Man, I got to go all time Bo, but Cam. I lived Cam. So yeah. Cam came after I was an Auburn fan. But even growing up a Bama fan, I've never been to a game in Tuscaloosa. So my best friend, his dad started Weagle, the radio station, when he was at Auburn.
Yeah.
So he took us to games growing up. So in high school and coming up, I always went to Auburn games. I'd never been to a Bama. To this day, I've not set foot in Bryant-Denning Stadium.
What's funny? It's funny you say that. My uncle, my dad's brother, is a big Alabama fan. And growing up, he was really – like, we're not super-duper far off in age, probably within 20 years.
I'm 49. 50.
Yeah, we're probably – I'm talking about my uncle. My uncle and I are really close. So it was – honestly, it was more like a big brother. I'm the oldest of three. So my uncle was kind of like my big brother, and he was a big Alabama fan, and he would take me to a lot of games. So I honestly growing up, I probably went to more Alabama games than Auburn, but I was always an Auburn fan. So Cam's obviously a good one. Bo's a great one. Love those. Let me ask you this, kind of switching gears a little bit, and we've talked about the past. Let's talk about the future. It's been a pretty dark time. It's been a pretty dark time for Auburn football in general. You kind of came in, if you became an Auburn fan right around 2000, like that was a good heyday. Like that was a really good decade for Auburn football. And then it's been kind of hit or miss for a while. And then the last five have just been awful. Like this has been as bad as it gets. You bring in the new coach. He's saying a lot of the right things. You just land a big offensive tackle, that you haven't been able to do in quite a while. Doing a lot of the good things off the field. We like kind of what we're seeing on the field. What are your early thoughts on, Alex Golish and what he may bring to the table, and can he turn this thing around?
Yeah, from 98 to 2000 when I was there, we didn't lose very often. It was a good time to be an Auburn student.
Yeah.
Golish, man, you kind of hit on it. I think initially I wasn't real sure because I didn't know much about him. I think I'd watched him coach one game, and that was the Bama game that they played. But after hearing more of what he has to say, the work ethic, the attitude that I hear about that's in the building, man, he says the right things, and he seems to be absolutely fired up, 1,000% football mindset, and go just, you know, beat somebody's brakes off, you know, just go wear them out, beat them down, and inflict your will type coach. And I like it. I'm not a passive kind of, like, I want to see some, you know, foot on the neck football. That's right. Yeah,
it's football. It's still, like you said, you got to punish people. And he always preaches violence. He wants to have you violent, which I love.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it's a violent game. It's not, you know, touch football or flag football. It's put the bike on them, as my old football coach used to say. You know, your helmet, she used to say bike across the front.
Ah, I love it.
You know, or well, air. It might, you know, when I got a little older, they had the air helmets. But, man, it was just, you know, hit them in the mouth.
Exactly. Know,
so.
I dig it. And I think what you say is a lot of the sentiment of, you know, others that have very – they feel very similar as you as far as the mindset change. So we've talked about all. Go ahead.
This is the first year I can remember in a long time that I'm actually excited about the start of football season. You know, looking forward to it. You know, the last couple of years it was just like, you know, when are we going to get out of this state or phase?
Yeah.
And it's not that way this year. You know, I'm pumped.
I think a lot of people are. I think a lot of people are excited. I'm excited. I think it could be a fun year. The schedule's tough, but I think. If they could get off to a hot start, it could be a really fun year. I want to actually talk about the business that we came to talk about because I think this is fascinating, and I know a lot of people are interested in this particular, you know, field that you're in, and how awesome is it that you got an Auburn guy that you could lean on to help you out here. But I'm going to give the floor to you to talk about your business, and you kind of teased it already. And I'll have some questions as we go. But yeah, tell us about Deep South Retrievers.
So first and foremost, we don't just train retrievers, and we don't just do hunting dogs. It started out as a primary focus on gun dogs, bird dogs, you know, going duck hunting or dove hunting, which is, you know, dove hunting in South Alabama or Alabama in general is probably the most popular bird hunting there is. But we do everything from dove dogs to duck dogs to upland pheasant or quail hunting people. I got a lot of dogs out of Southwest Georgia that are quail hunting clients. But we also do family obedience dogs. So if you have a Labradoodle or a Golden Doodle or Standard Poodle or a Golden Retriever that or GSP, whatever type of dog you have, medium to larger breed, say from Boykin Spaniel up, and you just want to be able to go to a local brewery and hang out and your dog chill and lay down there and, you know, be seen and not heard, so to speak, like people used to say about kids. Or you want to take your dog to the ball field and you watch your kids play ball and the dog to just sit there and lay and hang out and not be jumping at everything and barking and raising cane. You know, we do a lot of that, as well. Probably 30% of my business is just general obedience for people that want a well-behaved pet.
That aspect of it is huge to let, it's not just about the hunting aspect, which is big, but you can even do the obedience deal too. Like, can you tell pretty quick, like, if a dog, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this, and it may just be like story time kind of thing, but do you know, like, pretty well off the bat if, like, this one's gonna be tough, or
oh,
you know, do you have some horror stories or I don't know, like the ones you're most proud of?
There's definitely some I feel like I should have gotten like some sort of medal for completing through. You know, really, as a whole, people hate the doodles are wild and crazy and jump, but they're a super popular breed, but man, they're just full of energy and, you know, that they need that obedience. But so does your average lab. You know, these dogs, a lot of people buy a field dog to be a house dog, you know, a German short hair or a Boykin or an English Cocker, a lab. And, you know, they're not getting, they're not running out in the field and spending an hour a day working. So you've got to be able to control that energy and harness it and teach them what, you know, acceptable behavior. And it's not the dog's fault. You know, generally what I see when they come in, it's a problem that the people have created or allowed. You know, it's just like kids. You know, if you let your kid run all over a restaurant screaming, throwing ice at people, you know, at other tables, your dog, you know, your dog's probably gonna have the same type of behavior.
Very, very, very true and very real there. That kind of hit home. I want to ask you this. Is there like a qualification process? Is it like a dog, there's a cutoff after a certain age? Do they have to be puppies? Can it be anything? Like, just to let everybody know, like, at what stage they are with their dog, like, what?
That's a good question. That's a real good question. Typically, as far as the best age to start training, ideally 6 to 7 months old is the best place to start here. As an owner, you want to start as soon as you get the puppy. And I tell people all the time, you at any time you can call me and ask me questions and I can give you advice free of charge of how to get started, what to do, what the best options are in certain situations. And typically if someone calls me with a really young dog, I have them come by, meet me, see the facilities, and we go over in person what to be working on to prep the dog before they get here. Because if you wait and don't do anything, then you're paying me to do things that you could have done at home prior to that. Mm. And it sets the dog up for success better versus a failure, and gives, you know, all it is creating good habits, you know, and if you don't let a bad habit start, that's the best way to beat a bad habit is never let it get started. So any age though, in general, I mean, you know, we're not taking in 10 plus year old dogs, but I have trained 5 and 6 year old dogs before, that either had a good start or just, had an older gentleman one time, wife gave him the dog and the dog started chasing deer and he didn't want anything to happen. And he begged me to train him, and I thought, man, this dog's too old. And the dog was 7, and probably like one of the easiest dogs I ever trained, which I tell people, I think that was kind of a God thing, because that old man's wife had given him that dog and she'd passed. And so he was attached to that dog and didn't want him, you know, running off and getting hurt. And so there's really, you know, there's no age limit, but sometimes it takes longer with an older dog. But like with that one, you know, it was one of the easiest dogs I ever trained. I think I just got lucky on that. But the older, typically, just like me as an old man, my habits are pretty set. So if you want to break habits that have been set for several years, certainly the younger you start, the better.
So let me ask you this. You're located in Dothan, correct? Dothan, that?
So I'm in Southeast Alabama, just east of Dothan.
Gotcha.
Off Highway 84. So everybody from down here knows 84 runs from Thomasville to, you know, as far west as you want to go through Enterprise and what have you.
So, but
Dothan's
not
the closest town.
You're not limited to people in that area. Like,
oh, no. I get a lot of business out of Atlanta, Louisiana, because I lived in Louisiana and worked for wildlife and fisheries there for several years. So I still have a lot of clients from there. But no, I get dogs from all over. Definitely not limited to this area.
Yeah. I think one of the comments that I noticed on YouTube was a guy from Mississippi, and he was like, I got to give this guy a shout. So, mm-hmm. No, I love it, man. Here's the thing. I mean, obviously an Auburn guy, it's a need that people have. People have dogs and they want to make sure that they're disciplined. People love sporting dogs. They love to take them and go hunting. Like, you got a guy that can help you there. You're not necessarily bound. It'd be awesome if you of having a puppy. You can, if it's a couple year old dog, you can teach him. You know, the thing, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You might be actually able to, if you got in a pinch, you check all the boxes, man. So I would challenge everyone, if you're thinking about it, or if you, you know, have a dog and you want to have some kind of service like this, or you've been interested, make sure you reach out to Evan. I'm going to put his website in the show description, as well as his contact information, phone number, email, all that good stuff. I know he'd love to meet you, talk some Auburn ball with you, and help you out training your dog. So, Evan, man, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
Man, the only thing I know to say is War Eagle, and hopefully we have a great year.
Yes, absolutely. Guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll be back again soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.